Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brian, good afternoon. It's Craig and Evan. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right, guys. How are you?
Good. Doing great. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. You know, a lot of fans want to hear from you today. We'll start with Judge because it's the easiest and it's the lowest hanging fruit. So kind of two kind of quickies out of the gate. One, were you surprised when he said no? And two, do you really think there'll be no conversations till after the World Series now?
You know, it takes a lot, you know, from whether you're putting together a trade or signing a free agent or coming to contract terms with somebody. So I've been doing a long time, so I don't presume anything as you go into that process. The only thing we did was, you know, publicly and privately enter the process with the intent of trying to take a legit run at that outcome, but also knowing that, you know, the goalpost could be moving regardless, because if you don't have the outcome you want, you know, on the timeline that, you know, we're facing, which was by opening day, that, you know, you get another bite at the apple at another time, you know, for all parties. So, we ended that process with a legit effort, and now we live to fight another day.
You've been very open about what you offered them. Did they ask for 9 years? Is that report true that they wanted a 9-year contract?
Yeah, I would not want to say, you know, or share anything about their side or their interest or their hopes. The one thing that obviously, you know, Aaron Judge has been willing to share is his, you know, intent of wanting to be here for life, you know, quote unquote life. And obviously, you know, some players, that's a lot longer than other players, you know, in terms of their careers, because some guys, you know, you're seeing what Tom Brady's doing in with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now, and his career is going a lot longer than most. So that's the one thing, you kind of enter the process. You'd never, you know, doubt anybody's ability to do certain things or accomplish certain goals. And that's what makes, obviously, you know, the people in that arena very successful. They have concepts, ideas, goals they're intending to reach, and then they seek out to go get them. And so we'll see, you know, I'm not going to presume anything as I entered it, other than the fact that hopefully we can find common ground, if not now, later.
Do you get the sense, I got this just watching his press conference after opening day, that he was almost annoyed that the information was put out there by you about what you offered? Did you get the sense Aaron's upset about that?
No. I mean, that was something, you know, I can tell you that I did share with Aaron's, you know, representation, you know, probably, 72 hours or longer before that, you know, obviously, ultimately, once, if we can't come to an agreement, we'll be sharing at least, you know, our side of the fence, and, you know, they're certainly free to do the same on their end. So I couldn't tell you, I can't speak to, you know, their or his feelings on the matter either way, other than the fact that I was transparent publicly, but I was transparent privately, right, well in advance of that press conference day.
So as we sit here today, should Yankee fans just assume there will be no more conversations till after the season? Is that a fair guesstimate at this point, based on what both sides have said?
I mean, I kind of spoke to that on that day of the press conference. I think definitely got to reiterate what Aaron Judge has said, which was he, you know, it was pencils down by opening day. And I certainly will respect that. But at the same time, you know, my job is to try to, you know, look at ways to make the franchise better in the short and long term. And that's always the case, 24/7. And that, you know, obviously he has representation, he has an agent. So if if they want to engage or have any, like, I'm not precluded. I don't have any, you know, rules that prevent me from having the conversation. Yeah, exactly. So I'm open whenever, if ever, if there's any, position changes on either side. I mean, there's a sliding scale here. Yeah, clearly, as of right now, I think the expectation and understanding is, we'll be talking to, come wintertime and in a different environment. But, we're in it. And if you're in that environment, that's where anybody finds their true market value, regardless. So.
When did you start the process of negotiating with him about a long-term contract?
Probably 3 weeks before the end of spring training.
Oh, so it was a recent thing. You guys weren't talking pre-lockout or anything?
No.
So, a lot of people, myself included, want to know, if you had gone into it, if there was the thought in your mind, hey, we may not get this done, or you think, hey, listen, the guy just wants to be a free agent. He has the right to do that. No matter what we offer him, he's going to go become a free agent to test his true market value. If you had approached it that way, because that's where we are now, would it have changed how you handled your approach to other guys that you kind of had on a short list that you might have made an offer to that you didn't make an offer to this past offseason?
No, because ultimately the hope and intent here, which is being very transparent, is to have Aaron Judge not just part of the present but the future. And to be able to accomplish that, we have to keep some powder dry. And so that still exists. That atmosphere still exists. If we pivoted and went a different direction, then that, would have, certainly ramifications about flexibility as we move forward, as he enters the free agent market going into next year. So if we decided to place bets elsewhere, that, it very well could, interfere with those efforts. So no, I don't, it wouldn't have changed anything on our end.
Going back to the offseason, the brief offseason after the lockout, did you guys ever discuss with Carlos Correa a short-term contract that he ended up settling for, or at least the opt-out after 1 year? Or were your discussions based around the idea of a long-term contract?
First he had two different agents, so was this before the lockout, after the lockout?
I would go post-lockout, because obviously that's when the business started picking up.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly was aware that his circumstances were changing, and, I would receive phone calls from Scott Boras, not a lot, but Scott did reach out, I'm sure, not just to me, but to all clubs that he thought might be a possibility. And so I was aware and certainly sharing with ownership the, the world that was changing at that time for that particular free agent, same with the other free agents that wound up, landing deals elsewhere.
Was the short-term aspect not appealing to you guys?
It just didn't fit.
Financially, it didn't fit.
Yeah. No, it just didn't.
Would that have fit prior to the Donaldson trade? Did that kind of change where the offseason was going because of the financial commitment you made in that deal?
You're talking about a $35 million number. So I would say we'd have to have a number of different things to change the landscape for, to fit it. So if you're going to place that type of bet for that type of number in this particular calendar year for our payroll, then it would preclude us from having the ability to do other things that we were able to do. So I felt, even though it's apples and oranges, because both, the opportunity at the end that existed for Carlos Correa's free agency, that wasn't available in the beginning, when the decision on the Minnesota trade took place. So, again, it's like anything else, free agency can have you can pivot and a lot of things can, change the landscape to make it, a higher number. It can change the landscape to make it a shorter term situation. And so ultimately that was like, I don't know if it was how many weeks later, but ultimately at the end of the day, when the dust settled, the Minnesota deal accomplished a lot of different things for us that we were happy with by, the shortstop, the third baseman, and the catcher, obviously in adding payroll by doing that, versus what eventually was available later on that spring post-lockout when the Correa camp decided to do a shorter-term deal.
Talking to Brian Cashman, GM of the New York Yankees.
How involved were you guys in Freddie Freeman? I mean, we heard your names attached to it, but did you ever think that you were close to getting a deal done with him?
I would describe it the same way I just to kind of describe the Correa conversations or anybody else. We were aware of what their interests were financially and what their goals were to accomplish. And again, that was the type of bet too that, with the long term that we obviously, we never made an offer, an official offer, whether it was Correa or Freeman. But we certainly were aware and in touch with the representation about what they were looking for. And, as the landscapes were, playing out, even after, the Atlanta trade with Oakland took them off the board, their interest levels were being communicated to us, and the levels in terms of term and dollars we certainly were aware of every step of the way.
Talking to Brian Cashman, GM of the Yankees. Brian, no one's going to say the Yankees are cheap or even frugal. Your payroll's over $220 million this year. It's going to be towards the top, if not at the top of the American League, depending on how the rest of the year plays itself out. But I wonder for you, you get judged, as every general manager does, based on winning and losing, and ultimately, because it's the Yankees, on World Series. So are you frustrated at all when I hear Hal Steinbrenner come out, and you've reiterated it a couple times over the last month or so, that even though we're the New York Yankees, we do have a budget. It's a huge budget, but we do have a budget. We're not just going to spend money on everybody. Have you been frustrated at all when you've gone to ownership and said, player X is going to make us a much better team, and they come back and say no, based purely on financials?
No, not at all. I mean, the Steinbrenner family has done nothing but step up time and time again. We're now operating well north of that 220 number that you just referenced. And we obviously have the highest payroll in the history of the franchise as we currently sit. So, we compete at the highest level for the best players in the world. And, you can't have them, quote unquote, all. But we certainly, I think, have done our fair share of acquiring or retaining some of the best talented baseball players that this world's ever seen in our efforts to put the best team on the field for our fans to enjoy.
Do you feel you'll have ample financial flexibility to make deals before the trade deadline? Like, what will that look like a few months from now?
We'll see. I mean, certainly we're hopeful that everything plays out perfect, which never happens, as you know. So, but we had a good camp and off to a nice start, past this first series. And now we got the Blue Jays coming to town. So, we'll see. Ultimately, last year, we were obviously trying to compete and win and also reset things, and we were still able to pull a lot of talent in at the trade deadline and accomplish that other goal, because ultimately in that environment, teams are paying some of the dollars down, and it didn't stop us. So right. There's different ways to navigate this stuff, and we've had to be creative at times, even though you're operating at a higher ceiling. So the Steinbrenner family are second to none in terms of their commitment level to this city and this this fan base. So I've never been frustrated by that.
What's the level of concern that Gerrit Cole isn't the pitcher you signed when you signed him? His numbers are drastically different since the spider tech stuff affected all of Major League Baseball. Obviously, the way the season ended last year in Boston, the start this year against the Red Sox. Internally, what's the worry that he may not be the ace you guys all thought he was?
Well, I mean, I think you put it already in words. It affects all of baseball. So whatever was occurring prior, all boats rise in the high tide, and obviously all boats kind of get lowered equally at the same time. So whatever differences now in the pitching world exist, it's across the board. So, I mean, he is an ace. Until your question came, it wasn't even in my mind that thinking about obviously the rule changes and how it affects anybody. I kind of feel like we're past that now, and I feel really strongly that every 5 days that he takes the mound, we have a higher chance to win than most.
Well, unless Billy Crystal's thrown out the first pitch, then it throws everything off, because those 4 minutes, I don't know what people expect from this guy. Talking to Brian Cashman, you brought Donaldson in, and I just wonder, as much as he was and is a great player and MVP and all that, I wondered if part of bringing him in was something that you thought was missing from the clubhouse. Is there any aspect of that played a role in bringing him here?
I don't think so, to be quite honest. I think it's an extra that comes with it. But ultimately, it was, that deal made sense to me and us by the fact that, you know, we were improving in three different positions, and it was addressing areas of need that were both public and private as we entered, you know, this winter. And so we were able to retain now a improved defense at shortstop and upgraded both offensively and defensively at third, and then got a backup catcher who currently is on the DL, but he has options just like the current backup catcher here now, and they're ball defensive first catchers. And so it just kind of tackled all that. Now he comes with an uber competitive nature.
Right.
This is a guy who's wired to win. He competes hard, he practices hard, and he loves this game. And he talks that talk while he walks that walk. And so that's all, you know, gravy that comes with this great player. And so ultimately, as long as we can keep him healthy, he's going to have a really positive impact. He had a great spring. He acclimated really well in our clubhouse, and I think he's raised the bar for our team, which is, again, what comes with a player like that. He's been on winning teams most of his career, and we certainly hope that that rubs off on all our guys and you know, sets even higher standards because of his personality.
When you make a deal like that, do you call up Gerrit Cole after the fact and say, by the way, you may hate this guy, but we acquired him, or do you actually bring it up before you make the trade for Donaldson?
Yeah, I didn't. It was no asking of permission. It was just, I did call him as a courtesy because of all the noise that happened last year, and you know, the way it would, that was going to be the side story. So I wanted to make sure that he was aware and given a heads up, and had the time for me to talk through, hey, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it, and we're going to be better for it. And his response was, I'm good. And he said, look, we're going to have to work this out, and we'll talk through it, meaning him and Josh Donaldson. He said, but we're good. And then the very next day, that's what happened. The deal happens that night. Then Donaldson was there the next morning. He drove up the 2.5 hours from Fort Myers and was there for our first practice. And so he got up early, and you know, now we have a whole different team, and we feel a much better one for it.
We're talking to Brian Cashman. Obviously, you've made your views clear about the Astros. A lot of Yankee fans agree. They still chant F. Altuve. You called it illegal and horrific. How then are you able to kind of be on such great terms with Carlos Beltran, considering he was the ringleader? At least that's all the reporting. So how do you kind of look past the illegal and horrific and still have a great relationship with Carlos Beltran?
Couple things. So, you know, ultimately the Astro question is one that comes up all the time, right? And, mm-hmm. And so you do all you can for the most part of bobbing and weaving and trying to duck it and not deal with it if you can. Like it's in the back of my mind. I'll never forget it, you know, regardless. In terms of Carlos and others, I've had other people that were a part of that process that have reached out and personally apologized and took responsibility and accounting for, you know, the actions involved. So obviously there was a punishment handed down by the commissioner of baseball when he thought he saw fit. And then obviously you've seen how some of the stuff has played out publicly. And then there's things that have also played out privately. And so in terms of Carlos's case, I had a relationship with him before. We've had conversations about it since. I have not seen the center stage, which I heard was spectacular, where I think, you know, from what it sounds to me also, he went public about it. It played out in the papers. I think, you know, he's very genuine and sincere and apologetic about the role he played in it. And obviously he was punished for it publicly too, by losing the you know.
So
really,
he apologized to you?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Do you have to have that conversation? Like a guy like Marwin Gonzalez, who had a great year in 2017. I think he's in the starting lineup tonight, has a chance to be a big part of your team this year. Have you had to have a conversation with him? Like, did he apologize?
No, I haven't talked to him about it at all.
Do you think it's important to ever talk to him about it, or is it whatever? He was a player.
No.
On.
No, I, in real time, certain people reached out to me. You know, some who I had relationships with and some who I didn't have a lot of relationships with, but, you know, more in passing and stuff, went out of their way to make amends, you know, just in terms of a personal apology. I wanted to, you know, my phone would ring, for instance, in the wintertime, and somebody, you know, going through the 10-step process, and first is taking responsibility and accountability of, this is what I did, and I'm so sorry, and how it affected you, and you know, stuff like that. And that goes a long way. You know,
sure.
It really does. I mean, it doesn't change some, you know, what transpired, but at least, you know, people, acknowledge the wrongdoing and took responsibility to the point where they were genuinely sincerely, and you can feel whether it's real or not real. And sure. I felt the people who did do that for me or to me were honest and genuine about it. And I appreciated those calls.
If Jose Altuve hasn't apologized, the Bleacher Creatures will love to have you out there to chant F. Altuve the next time the Astros come in, all right?
Hey, what is the real concern on your guys' part about this letter from the commissioner to the Yankees becoming public?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on that.
Got it. Because I guess that's appeals court ruled against the Yankees.
We haven't been on so long. There's a lot of older stuff coming up I keep forgetting about.
I'll give you some newer stuff. When are you going to sign Brett Gardner?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I mean, he's been a great Yankee. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, the way the winter, just a very difficult offseason, clearly, in the fact that it got interrupted. And then you're drinking out of a fire hose when, you know, thankfully the lockout gets lifted and we're, you know, simulating a winter meetings, a general manager meetings, and all within like a 3-week process. And you're drinking out of a fire hose and trying to, you know, put a team together and make trades. And
well, here's a fair
and
one.
And at the end of the day, you know, the last few years he's been someone that we've had to, you know, kind of wait to deal with towards the end. And then the way it played out so far, at least, it's, you know, there wasn't a spot, you know, there. Now, there was a spot in the beginning because obviously he had a player option, or he could opt out. So he actually had a contract. It was right. A 2-year deal with an opt out after one, and he opted out and went free agency. And that, you know, kind of set up a course of actions and how it all started to play out based on other transactions kind of affected certain things in the current time frame.
Before we wrap it up here with Brian Cashman, we're just come full circle. When a guy who's had two healthy seasons in his career turns down a guaranteed $230 million, do you at some point alone in the room just shake your head in disbelief?
No. I mean, the great thing, you know, I would say the great thing about that is, you know, that man has the hand on the steering wheel of his life, as he should, right? He should only do what he feels he's comfortable doing. And, you know, just like, you know, conversely, clubs or, you know, in terms of what we offer, we control what we offer and stuff like that. And that's just how it works. And ultimately, you know, the magic happens when people can find common ground and see it together the same way.
So does that offer exist in perpetuity, or the fact that he said, I want to wait till after the season, is that offer now essentially off the table?
I wouldn't say. I mean, ultimately, you know, the one difficult side of our sport is, you know, when the business side is so public and
right.
And it's a whole different game. Yeah, obviously the more important game is the game on the field about the players. There is the business side that plays out publicly too, that comes with free agency, and there's a sexy side of the trades and who makes what and who's making less or more than others and the comparative sides, and that is also a, you know, a game I guess worth covering, but it's one I wish, you know, you didn't have to deal with, but we were honest and transparent about, hey, we're committed to try to do something before the season started. We honored that in a strong way, but also in a honest, recognizing way that, hey, it doesn't mean anything's over here. We have 6 more months to go. He's going to go get after it as like he always does every year and hopefully puts together an amazing year like he usually does. And we'll just talk another time. As simple as that. I mean, there's nothing more to add. Not, hey, that this is on the table. It's off the table. It doesn't mean it can't go higher. Doesn't mean it won't go lower. You know, on either end, it just none of that. Bottom line is we'll just all have to reengage at another time. Our intent is to have Aaron Judge be here. His intent is to try to stay here. There'll be a party line probably the next time we talk, which will, you know, be make it more complicated. But at the end of the day, that's also part of this game. But it's now the focus is the field.
Well, let me play part of the game with you and make you uncomfortable. As far as I know, you went into this year as a lame duck general manager contractually. Where do you stand with the organization as far as extending your term as GM?
I am nothing to add there, you know, on my end. I mean, I got a job to do while, you know, I'm employed to do it, and I'll do everything I can to the best of my abilities, and hopefully it's something that, you know, the fans will enjoy and the Steinbrenners will be proud of. But past that, you know, there's nothing more for me to add.
Well, like 5 years from now, do you see yourself as the Yankee GM?
I don't know where I'd be, past this year.
You want to do afternoons on the Fan?
So, well, I don't know. It's,
you have to take a massive pay cut.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to wait and see what the future brings.
Have you had any negotiations on a contract extension, or are you guys tabling it till the end of the year?
No, I have not. I've had no negotiations. Well, none of those ever usually happen, regardless, till the end. It's just the way the works. Just whether it's the manager, the general manager, or whomever, that's just how this process works here, and we all know that. So,
amongst just the last few years, I don't want to look at your entire tenure. You've been here for a very long time, but the Aaron Judge era, 17 to now, going into the start of the year, where is your confidence level on this roster being a championship caliber roster?
Oh, I think it is a championship caliber roster. So I think stating that is something easy, and I think that's something we can typically say. But at the end of the day, there's quite a few teams that can make those same statements, and you got a long, season to play out, and that's what makes this sport so amazing. It's, because of the injuries and how this stuff changes and rosters and people either overperform, underperform. Some guys come out of nowhere to really impact it from their minor leagues, and, kind of changes the pennant races and stuff. So it's just one of those things. You stay tuned. But we have a great team, without a doubt, is going to take a run at this thing. And it's just no one can, race to the end of the book to find out how strong it is compared to the field.
The next few days are going to be great. The Blue Jays, the Yankees, two incredibly talented teams. Are you concerned about next month when you guys go to Toronto that you may be losing, I don't know how many guys, but it obviously is relevant to fans because we don't know who's going to be able to play up in Toronto. How much of a concern is that?
It's not a concern, because one thing that experience has taught me is whatever is in your control, you can focus on. If there's certain things that are out of your control, then don't worry about it. So when I first started this job years ago, I lost all my hair worrying about starting a game in the rain, or are we going to be able to play tonight and stuff, because the weather was coming in. And I've learned over the time to temper my experiences, temper those type of things out of my control. And so the only thing I can control is education, process, and then let whatever will be. And so my biggest concern right now is, obviously, we have a 16-man pitching staff. We're playing 10 games in a row, and our starters, like everybody else around the game, aren't stretched out enough. So making sure, or trying or praying, some of it can't control that, because we got to try to win these games, but we don't want to break people at the same time, because even though we're playing right now, the pitchers are still managing their workload in the back of what normally would be their fifth or sixth week of the spring training, but it actually happens to be real time. So we need to protect these guys. That's why the roster's expanded, but the 10 in a row doesn't really help, but we're all dealing with that in each environment. So anyway, we're looking forward to getting past the next 2 to 3 weeks where our starters have been built up. That's why Montgomery, when he went down last night, it was so scary, because you can't afford, thankfully he was tough. And he was able to survive it and give us some length, compared to leaving the first inning. Because, again, the domino effect that can have in the here and now for any team in baseball is catastrophic.
One last thing for me. I heard this the other day. Bryce Harper said publicly he was surprised that you guys never approached him in free agency 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it is now. Is that true? Were you guys never talking or interested in Bryce?
If he said it, it's probably true. I mean, I'd have to turn the clock back about what was our roster at the time we did it. I know that we acquired Stanton the year before his free agency, anticipating that with the Marlins money that they were contributing, the $30 million off, that what, and this assessment I know on the Stanton thing was correct, was what that importing of that contract would mean compared to whatever, Bryce would get in free agency, and the Stanton contract's cheaper. So that did make sense. So, but at the end of the day, I don't remember what our roster was looking like and what our commitments were. So if we didn't connect with them outside of a courtesy call, I can tell you we didn't pursue them. But I don't remember whether we had any connection at all or not.
Quick personnel question. If knowing the offensive struggles, and granted, it's three games, I'm not going to go crazy, with Gallo and Hicks, does a guy like Michael Conforto stay on your radar as some outfield depth and an extra bat, considering you may have some offensive issues with your outfield?
I think the free agent rules will probably still apply. First, we expect big things from both Hicks and Gallo this year, and you know they're certainly capable of it, and they're really talented. And Hicks came in great shape, and Gallo, I know, is going to be in a much better position, I think, to show our fan base what he's capable of doing after you know getting his feet wet last year, the last 2 to 3 months of the season. So hopefully we don't have to pursue, as I said in the beginning of this call, any outside options, but I know that's unrealistic. But I know, you know, there's players that are still available in the free agent market like him. And I also know that, you know, trade market will be, you know, something that we've already shown we're not afraid to deal with because we've already made a few trades, you know, coming out of spring training that we feel have made us better. So, again, I feel like our outfield's set, and I'm not necessarily thinking about too much, but it doesn't mean that, you know, we can't be open-minded to a lot of different things. And that's, I think, the way the general free agent landscape you're supposed to speak to, which is you never say never to anything because we're required to say that. So.
Well, we appreciate you coming on today. Congrats on winning the opening series of the season. And I look forward to talking to you throughout the year as we always do, Brian. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Be well.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.